One week ago today, we began yet another Lenten journey. In these past several days, I have spent some time prayerfully considering the many Lents I have made throughout my life, and, in a more probing way, wondering what difference they have made. I suppose my first conscious experience of Lent was in first grade, some 63 years ago. In fact, many of my current Lenten practices were already taking shape in the culture of that 1950s Catholic school. To our usual classroom prayer routine, in Lent we added Friday afternoon Stations of the Cross and a daily decade of the Rosary. One decade was probably as much as our restless 6-year-old minds could tolerate. There was also a strong expectation that we would give up something for Lent. In my family, that meant going without dessert for what seemed an eternity. In school, we were also given Lenten mite boxes, which we were encouraged to fill with some of the scarce pennies and nickels that came our way. Although I had never even heard the word solidarity until many years later, Sister Maria Francina was preparing our hearts for that very virtue by recounting stories of faraway mission countries and the plight of the poor children, our peers, who live there. She assured us that our tiny sacrifices would make their life better. Although I wasn't aware of it at the time, even at that tender age, we were being formed in the centuries-old Christian traditions of prayer, fasting, and works of charity. For many years, with only minor tweaking, I complacently reprised that Lenten trifecta without giving any deeper thought as to how prayer, fasting, and works of charity might enhance my life as a disciple. Eventually, that childhood decade of the Rosary gave way to reading the Gospel of the day, but without any real appreciation for how the Word of God might transform me if I learned to surrender to it. I faithfully attended the weekly Stations of the Cross, but I never sought that grace which St. Ignatius Loyola prayed for, to be broken in spirit with Christ who was broken in spirit. My fasting from dessert shifted to giving up alcohol, but it was as much to drop a few pounds as it was for any higher spiritual purpose. I also continue to send my donations to a few organizations that do admirable work with the poor, but with more discretionary income at my disposal, I no longer felt any financial pinch the way I did as a 6-year-old. And with all this, I smugly felt that I was making a good Lent. Only later, with the guidance of a spiritual director, did I begin to understand how praying contemplatively, fasting, and acting in solidarity with the poor are keys to growing spiritually, and especially to deepening my friendship with Jesus. I also learned that prayer, fasting, and works of charity are not things to be trotted out only during Lent, like pumpkins at Halloween or garlands at Christmas time. Rather, in some vital way, they are meant to be three pillars on which we build our spiritual life throughout the year. St. Leo the Great, a 5th-century pope, recognized this when he remarked that every good Christian should practice prayer, fasting, and works of charity at all times, but in Lent with even greater care and devotion. In more recent years, I've grown in awareness that Lent is not supposed to be a 6-week program of personal improvement. It is not about glancing inwardly to see what needs to be modified in my life. More than anything else, Lent is about fixing my gaze outwardly toward that world in pain just beyond our doors. I encourage you to give some thought to how these three pillars might help you engage this Lenten season more profitably. Why not join me in prayer, but not prayer for ourselves and our self-improvement? Instead, let's focus our Lenten prayer on our sisters and brothers who are in more dire need than we are. Let's pray, for instance, for the homeless, not just for a bowl of hot soup tonight, but also that our civic leaders would commit toward working toward a comprehensive solution to this national disgrace. And let's practice fasting, too, perhaps skipping lunch one day a week or eating a simple supper. But let's not do it to lose weight. Instead, let's allow that hollow feeling in our belly to show God how hungry we are for greater racial justice in our country, or how much we thirst for immigration reform that offers Christian hope and hospitality. And yes, let's perform our works of charity, perhaps by financially supporting organizations that do some good. But let's not forget also to direct our civic energies toward bringing about greater justice in our city and in our nation. As we journey toward the victory over sin and death that we celebrate at Easter, let's pray and fast and practice acts of solidarity so that we might grow in compassion and become better friends of Jesus. May God bless you and give you health.